Well, it was good to see everybody and see some people we haven't seen for a while. Now, there are many messages or announcements in the church bulletin. One that's super important, tomorrow's our church business meeting. Tomorrow here in the sanctuary at 10 o'clock, we're going to be meeting with Pastor Ramiro Cano, the president of the conference, and talking about, you know, our needs as for a new pastor. So we want as many people to get here so that they can, you know, we can let him know what kind of pastor we want and what kind of direction we want to go. So it'd be really important that we can get as many people here who have ideas and things that you want to know, that we want him to know. Another one there is right underneath that is about the Camp Awona. They're going to be doing some construction, so it'd be great if we can get some people. And I guess that's a Sunday, I think Sunday through a Wednesday. So if you can get out any of those days to help out over there, that I'm sure they would be much appreciated. And it's definitely a needed type of thing. We had the prayer request for the family of Diane Anzai and Maria and Hines. So remember them in your prayers. Diane passed away this last week, and she has a memorial service next Saturday afternoon here at church at 3 o'clock. So remember their family in your prayers. Also got a prayer request for Ed Moore Sr. So he's still in rehab right now, and he's just not doing real well as far as strength. And pray that he'll regain some strength so that he can return home and rest up. So remember him and the family in your prayers. Shirley as well, because I'm sure that's really difficult for her. And the rest of the bulletin, you can take a look at the messages in there. And so before we start our worship service, let's ask the Lord to join us here in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for a wonderful day for Sabbath worship. We thank you for an opportunity to come here into our warm church and to greet each other with warm smiles. And we look forward to meeting you again today in church service. May you speak to us, speak with through Matt as he breaks open your word today for us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's now time to ask the deacons to please stand as we give back to God what we can do to help further this kingdom. We pray that our money will be going to Conference Faith Advance, and we know that there are so many people right here in Central Conference that need to follow and need to hear about Jesus. So let's give as we can. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to give back to you. We know that you don't need our money, but we know that this money will go to where it needs to go so we can reach more people for your kingdom. We want to have as many people as we can into your kingdom so that when you come, you will be surrounded by so many people that love you. We thank you for loving us and for giving us so many wonderful blessings. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, kids, it's time for children's stories. So if you want to come on up, Kathleen Lutz has a story for you.
Good morning, boys and girls. How are you this morning? I want to ask you a question. Has your mother or daddy ever said to you when they did something nice, did you say thank you? Did they teach you to say thank you? Did they teach you to say, I'm sorry? Those are nice things, aren't you? I want to talk today about a little boy. He wasn't even five. How many of you are five or older here? You're five? Okay. Now just imagine, this boy was not even 5 years old. And when he was just probably like Andrew, his mother would teach him to say, oh, here's Andrew over here, to be please, thank you, I'm sorry, all those nice little kind things. And so this one day, Terry was getting on the bus with his mother, and if you've ridden on a bus, sometimes they jerk, and you'll be thrown off balance. And that's what happened to Terry. And when he did that, there was a man there sitting, and he accidentally stumbled and stepped on the man's foot. And immediately, he jumped up, and he said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I beg your forgiveness. Please forgive me. I didn't mean to do it." And the man had a sweet smile. He picked Terry up, put him on his lap. And he said, "That's all right. What's your name?" And he told him his name. "How old are you?" And he told him, "I'm almost 5. And then he put him down and he went away. Oh, he asked him when his birthday was. And the man wrote it all down. And not long after that, Terry had a birthday. And in the mail came this card. And he couldn't believe it. He opened it and it says, "Happy birthday from the man on the bus." The next year, and every year he got a card from the man on the bus. And when he got into high school and he graduated, he got a card, but it had $75 in it this time. And Terry moved along in his life. His mother and father got a little more senior, and it was cold like we have today, but colder. And back then, they heated with coal, like a fire type thing, and they didn't have any. And so Terry called the coal company and wanted to see if they could get some coal. "Well, I'm sorry, we don't have enough coal, and we're not making any deliveries." "Okay," he said, "I really need it. I need my mother and my father. They're so cold. They won't make it through the night. It's too cold." "Well, I'm sorry." The next day he called again. And it was a different man that answered the phone this time. And he pleaded again for mother and daddy. And he said, "What's your name?" And he told him his name, Terry. He said, "Well, we'll see what we can do." And not very long after that, a big Cadillac car drove up. A chauffeur got out, came up, knocked on the door. And he said, "What can I do for you?" And the man said, "Well, are you Terry?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Well, I have some coal." And he went out and he brought in 6 bags of coal. And he said, "Well, who is this from? Who sent it?" He said, "Well, there's a piece of paper in one of the bags that'll tell you." And when he opened the bags, he found the note, and it was from the man on the bus. And so sometimes, boys and girls, we may not want to say please, or we may not want to say, "I'm sorry, please forgive me." It is a wonderful thing. We never know what will be the end results from that one kind act. And remember, in Ephesians 4:32, it says, "Be ye kind one to another." So today, this Sabbath, think about being kind and how I can be kind. Let us go get our baskets and be sure to go down, not all down the middle, some on the side and some on the side over there. Have a blessed Sabbath.
As far as we are able, can you kneel for prayer? Father God, we come before you today hurting and brokenhearted and needing your love to fill us up. And Father, we praise your name. You are so good to us, and there's a community out there that needs you, and please fill our hearts to share your news with them so that they can be a part of the body of Christ with us. Father, please bring comfort and courage to all of our families that are hurting today. Lord, the Muir family took a loss with Evelyn's brother, Roy Chapman, and his boys need your care. And Lord, please be with the Batats and the Anzai families and the Lutzes, and Lord, please watch over the Folks family also. And Lord, we know we have to grieve. And please be with Ann Patton and her family and friends from PUC. Lord, please give us your joy in time to see your grace in all of this in the future. And Lord, we know that these people who fall asleep in you will rise up with us in the heavenly glorious day that you've come to get us. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for us. And please, please give strength to Ed Moore Sr. as he's needing your strength and courage to move forward. And Lord, please give us a heart to accept the things that happen for in our lives that we can't explain. And we know that you'll explain them one day to us and life will be a lot better. Father God, please give guidance to us as we choose and give voice to who might become our leadership in this church and in our school. And please be with Matt as he speaks with us today and give him your Holy Spirit and your words. In Jesus' name, amen.
I wanted to say one word or two. It's okay. You can come back up here, Matt. Come on. You know, I hope Matt doesn't need an introduction. You know, he and Tess have been here about a year and a half now, and they have thrown themselves into this church family, and I'm so grateful for them. And I, you know, I believe his sermon today is about listening to God's call and answering, and you know, using our gifts for God. And I want to tell you, a week ago today, our worship committee was sitting around a table looking at each other, realizing we didn't have a speaker for today. And I have to say, Tess did volunteer him, but he said yes. He said yes, he will do the sermon. So thank you. We appreciate it. And we really appreciate you and Tess and our family.
You're very welcome. Well, that's pretty cool. Behind every man, there's probably a woman pushing him forward. So, and I'm grateful for mine. Interesting. This morning, I got up and normal routine, 5 o'clock a.m., went to the bathroom, put shaving cream on, pulled the faucet. Nice. Wiped the shaving cream off, went outside. Water's frozen. Pipes are solid. So I thought, well, hey, worst case scenario, I'll shave at church. And fortunately, I didn't have to do that because apparently there wasn't any water here either. So I got a heater out and managed to get the pipes going and got to shave and take a shower, because otherwise, you know, my hair would have been a mess. Not that you could have told any different. But anyhow, it's good to be here. It's good to be up here. I never really thought I'd be up here, especially this early in the journey with this new family, which I consider you all. But I'd like to start with a word of prayer. So if you could bow your heads. Father, I am so thankful and honored to be up here to actually represent you and to hopefully somehow touch some hearts and move some people in directions for your glory and to honor your will. Speak through me, please. I ask this through our Savior Jesus. Amen. Anyhow, who has one of these? Everybody? Okay. Well, cell phone. I mean, I'm not being particular about Apple or anything like that, but these things kind of define us nowadays. I don't know too many people who don't have a cell phone. And the funny thing about these is no matter what's going on, you could be in a heated conversation with somebody, you could be in the middle of work, you could be in the middle of something real important, something that really shouldn't be interrupted, this thing will go off and people go like this. And when they're done, they come back and they're like, where was I? So, and I'm not down in technology. It's a great thing. This is a great communication device. There's some good things that can come of cell phones. But they can be a distraction too, big time. So I actually did prepare notes, believe it or not. My wife is kind of surprised at that because I kind of wing everything. It's kind of my style, and that's okay, I guess. I guess that's a gift that I've been given. But along with the cell phones, something that's real popular is texting. And I know because our daughter's on our cell plan. And I was amazed when the first bill came after she got a phone. Because normally, you get an envelope, and it's thin, it's light. Pick it up, no worries. You one page, there it is, there's your bill. The first bill came, it was like this thick. There was like 30 pages of, and I don't know, I mean, if everybody's cell phone bill is like that, but this comes with every single text. And I was kind of blown away. I thought, man, what else does she have time to do? Because there was 3,000 text messages in 1 month. I was like, okay, I did the math. Sometimes I'm a little logical. I did the math, and I'm like, each text probably took 5 seconds at least. And I mean, it was hours and hours and hours of time. But kids, they're 100-mile-an-hour texting, right? Blows my mind. Well, I got news for you, kids. You are not the best texter in the universe. Because God has the biggest text in the world, right here. So, where I'm going with this is communication device. We can't do without it. Most of us don't leave home without this in the morning. Communication device. We really shouldn't leave home without this. Yet most of us do. If you left your house and you forgot your Bible, chances are you're probably not going to turn around and go back. You leave your house without this, you get all the way to work, you'll go home and be late going back to work to get this. Interesting. But anyhow, where I'm going with all this is God has tried to communicate with us from the beginning of creation. And he's done it in a lot of different ways. He spoke to Moses through a burning bush that wasn't burning. That's pretty cool. He talked to Noah, I think. I mean, imagine the conversation with Noah. I mean, anybody ever heard Bill Cosby's version of Noah? Isn't that awesome? Noah. And if you've seen the routine live, it's just amazing. But I don't know if that's how it went down, but it's certainly how I'd like to think it went down. Because it's funny. You would think, what was going on in Noah's brain when he heard God's voice? And then there's Enoch. Now that guy, I can't wait to hang out and talk with that guy. Because he used to walk with God and God just took him. Right? Now what scripture says? I wonder what he's doing right now. So all through time, all through the Old Testament, we have story after story after story. He spoke through the prophets in a lot of different ways. And It's funny how, for me, going through Old Testament stories, I sometimes wonder, it's like, man, how many messages, how many phone calls do you need to get from God before you pay attention, before we paid attention? And yet we still, something happens. Hang on, God, I'm busy. You know, it's wild to think about. What distractions did they have out in the desert for 40 years? I mean, they didn't have cell phones. They had cattle. All they had to worry about was what to eat. God gave them manna. And yet, we still, as a people, continually turn away and get caught up in our own deal. So, finally, I think God got so fed up, he finally sends his son. To try and, okay, well, they're not getting the phone calls, they're not getting the messages. We'll just go talk to them face to face. So he sends his son. And if I could get Matthew 4, 18 through 22 up on the screen. Whew. Isn't that awesome? Those guys are... Oh, by the way, third verse I gave you, it's Matthew 28, not 29. I was trying to add a verse to the Bible. Sorry about that. But anyhow, I want to read through this. This is when Jesus first started his ministry. You know, he was baptized by John the Baptist and went off into the wilderness and was tempted by Satan. And this kind of picks up. Starting in 18, and I could just read right from here. It says, now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Immediately, they left their nets and followed Christ. They didn't have these. They didn't have the New Testament. They had no clue. And immediately, they followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately followed him too. So where am I going with this? Look at us today right here in Oakhurst. And we have all the technology, we have all the capabilities, and God calls us all the time. Some of us step up and answer that call. Where's Kirk? Does everybody know Kirk? You know, that he's amazing. Has anybody seen Kirk in town with a sign? Yeah, I was going to Vaughn's one day, and I walked at Kirk's at the table outside of Vaughn's. It was cold out. And he's out there looking for people to have a Bible study with. Kirk got a phone call, and he picked up the phone, And he answered it. And he's been running ever since. And that's what I think Jesus is calling. He called disciples back then. He called Peter. He called John. And they immediately left everything. Now, I'm a fisherman. I love to fish. I probably would have failed that test. Had Jesus walked along and I was out later, I'd have been on my phone in the corner. Hang on a second. But there's calls that you get personally, and there's calls that I think this church is getting right now. And we have a pastor that got a call. And he answered the phone. And I think a lot of us, me included, got a little selfish for a minute and said, wow, man, where does that leave me? But it caused me to think, on the other hand, where does that leave me? What's my call? And I pray for you guys, Delinda, that God gives you everything that he's promised. And I'm very pleased that you guys took that call. And you talk about grief. We are going to go through some grief, no doubt. Not quite like the death of a loved one, like many are going through right now, but we're going to grieve the loss because we'll miss you guys. But God has a plan. God is in control. He's in control here. And I think sometimes he needs to shake things up because in churches we get very comfortable with our pastors. You know, we get these guys that come up and they're very courageous and, man, they give a message and you're just like, whoo, I can't wait to get to Sabbath next week. Woo, I'm going to get filled up. I got to go get my blessing. And really, we start relying on the pastor to do everything. The pastor is the meat and the potatoes and the blessing. When really we need to do this and go right like this. I want to be a blessing to you today, Wally.
Got $100?
I got whatever I got, you can have, buddy, okay? But we have a choice to come every Sabbath and be a blessing versus coming here expecting to be fed. I mean, look at Kirk, I'll bring it up again. Dude, that guy's got energy to burn, man. I don't know where he gets it. But I'll bet if you ask him, man, what's your drive? What pushes you on? I guarantee you he's going to say, Jesus gives me the courage. It's all about Christ. And we can all be that. We don't all have to be that. Not everybody's that forward, that up front. I got no problem coming up here and speaking. Tess, on the other hand, she's a little different, man. I'm proud of her for coming up here and praying. A lot of courage. She's a great prayer warrior, too. But getting off track a little bit. I better go back to my notes. Anyhow, so we have Pastor Steve taking another call, so that kind of leaves a void here, and I want to hold that thought too. And let's go to Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and I find it interesting how the Holy Spirit works, because Callie and I didn't talk about this at all, but yet she read this exact text this morning. So I don't think this service is an accident. I don't think me being up here talking is an accident. I don't think Callie doing what she did up here and the music team being up here was an accident. And it's amazing to me how God can work two different sides of the county all week long and have everything come together in a service, and it melds just like that. Blows my mind what he does. But if we could put Matthew 28, 18 through 20 up. And that was the one I gave him the wrong verse, so might give him, take a second. Thank you. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Now, this is right after Jesus was crucified and rose again. And he's coming back to address his disciples. And a little further. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So, the last thing he told them before he left was this. The first thing he did was he walked by the boat and he called them. I got news for you guys. Every one of you and me were in that boat back then. And he's here right now teaching us through his text message that we do not need this to get. God's in control. He knows what's going on. He has a plan for this church. He has a plan for the Hamiltons. He has a plan for each and every one of us as individuals. And he's calling each one of us on that spiritual phone, which dials right here in our heart. And if we could go to John 21, 15 through 25. We'll get there. It's all good. I appreciate you guys up there. You know, Ed said earlier this morning when I was getting mic'd up, he said, "Hey, you know, if you start losing it, we'll make faces and do funny gestures for you up there." And I thought, you know, you guys have no idea what I'm going to do to you. Anyhow, we're having a challenge finding that verse that's payback for what I just did, I guess. In John 21, if you want to turn to that, you can. I'm going to start at verse 15. This is the Gospel of John. This is John's take on, I think, probably the same situation, the same meeting with the disciples before Jesus, after he was crucified and rose. And I can get through this one without welling up, maybe. "So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord. You know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my lambs.' He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Peter said, or Jesus said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." Said to him a third time. Now, you know, when Jesus says something three times, it's important. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Now, I find it odd, maybe not odd, that Jesus denied Christ three times. Do you think maybe he was trying to tell Peter something by saying this three times? I don't know, for me, Jesus is going to have to tell me about 1,000 times. He's going to have to ask that question, and he would have to, if not for his grace. I'll read further. "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourselves and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter, turning around, saw the disciples, whom Jesus loved, following them, one who also had leaned back on his bosom to the at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Therefore, this saying went out among the brethren, that the disciples would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. Now I take that as John was the one who laid back on his bosom. And John wrote this gospel, as did Matthew, Mark, and Luke wrote a gospel. And I think it's interesting that there's four different gospels. Why did the gospel have to be written four different times by four different people? And I think if you look at anybody who's a psychology major, will tell you that there's four personality styles. Coincidence? Maybe. Just a thought. But how many books is Christ writing today through a phone call to individuals just like us, right here in Oakhurst and all around the world? And I'll say again, he is still in control. He's still doing his work. And he does it through people like you, like me, like my brother Kirk. Oakhurst Church, your phone is ringing. Our phone is ringing. Please, let's pick up and answer the call. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be part of this family, to be in this town, to have cell phones. Lord, I would ask that you please take away the distractions from all of us here. Let us clearly hear your phone call. Let us clearly pick up that phone. And let us communicate with you. Use this church, use these people, this family, to reach out and to call the sinners home and to be that light. You have a plan for us, Lord. We hold strong to that. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.